الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. First of all, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His endless bounties for conferring upon us many favors. Once again, a reminder for myself and for all of us that the greatest of all His favors is the fact that He has guided us to Al-Islam. Not just to Islam, but alhamdulillah to the correct Islam by following the Quran and the Sunnah, but as understood by Salaful Ummah, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim and those who come after them. This is a great ni'mah, only those who they know what it is. So we should give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال تعالى وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And your Lord has said, indeed, if you would to give thanks, we will increase you. So give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there was a times when none of this was happening. It was a times when people, they looking for a book, they could not find it. Looking for a tape, could not find it. Looking for a CD in English, they could not find it. The effort has to be going on. And subhanAllah, just the title of these topics is the unity and its benefits and the harms of disunity. Alhamdulillah, now we're here, we're gathering together, but let us not forget, once this is over, that our unity is over with it. Alhamdulillah, the believers, even though they may not be together with their bodies, but they are together through their hearts, being connected towards one another. Because we believe in one God, one true God. As Sheikh Mas'ud al-Husayni said earlier, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ رَبُّنَا وَاحِدٌ دِينُنَا وَاحِدٌ وَنَبِيُّنَا وَاحِدٌ وَأُضِيفُ أَنَا وَالصِّرَاطُ وَاحِدٌ وَالطَّرِيقُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَاحِدٌ أَوَّ الْكِتَابُ السُّنَّةِ. Because the Sheikh, he said, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, that because we believe in one God, the true God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in one messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have one religion, which is Islam. And the path to success and to the Jannah is one. So therefore we have to be united. If we all believe in these things, then we have to be as one body. So we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mah. And we have to support it, everyone, to the best of their abilities. Don't be shy. You support this effort, insha'Allah ta'ala. Because we are the first people to benefit from all these efforts. Because I have to remind you and myself that we will die one day. We will die one day, and the only thing that's going to benefit us is that which we have sent for ourselves for tomorrow. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The day when no wealth, no offsprings will be of any benefit except the one who brought a clean heart. A clean heart from shirk, from nifaq, from kufr, from animosity, from hatred, and from many different things. ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when the son of Adam dies, all of his deeds are cut off except from three things. صدقة جارية, a continuous act of charity. علم, يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ. He left some knowledge. أَوَّلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ. Or a righteous child that he make dua for him. So when a person dies, if he left something for him in this dunya behind him, that will still help him. Because he can't do anything no more for himself. As in the other hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتِ ثَلَاثَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ فَيَرْجِعُ اثنان وَيَبْقَى واحد. يَرْجِعُ الْأَهْلُ وَالْمَالُ وَيَبْقَى الْعَمَلُ. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, when a person is buried, or when he's dead, and they've taken him to the grave, there are three things that follow in that dead body. His family members, wife, maybe children, mother, father, and it could be vice versa, depending who died. So his family members follow on him, his wealth, maybe they drive in his cars and the like and this, and his deeds, whether it be good or bad. Prophet ﷺ said once they bury that person, they finish, they put him under the ground. Two things from those three go back, and one thing remain with him. The family members and the world go back. The only thing that stays with him is his deeds. If the deeds are good, it is good for him or for her. But if they are bad, they can't put the blame on no one but their own selves. I ask you the question. You've seen funerals before, right? You've seen funerals? You've seen somebody being taken to the graveyard? Have you ever seen a U-Haul truck behind them? U-Haul truck. Did you see a U-Haul truck following the funeral processions? Huh? What that tell you? Nothing goes with him. He doesn't move with his belongings. The person who dies, he doesn't move. They don't bring a U-Haul truck and take his stuff and his clothing and bed and money and car and put it over there and bury it with him. That's one thing. Have you ever heard when a man dies and they put him on a grave, and now they're about to put the dirt, have you ever heard that a wife jumped in a grave? Nah. Huh? Nah. Have you ever heard that his children jumped, say, hey, we're going with our father? Have you ever heard the husband, he dove in a grave too? It's like, man, my wife in there, I got to be with her. I never heard such thing. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These things, they come back. These things, they come back. The only thing that's going to stay with you and me, Ya Abdullah, when we die in that grave, is the deeds. That's why we have to make some serious preparations. And even if we fall short, if we wrong ourselves, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim. Allah forgive the sins. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. It is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who accepts the tawbah from His servants, and He pardoned much of sins. We have to be sincere, and we have to educate ourselves, constantly remind ourselves, constantly take an account of ourselves. Simple. When you go home, by the end of the day, before you go to sleep, take 5 minutes of your time. Can't you take 5 minutes for your time, for your own self, and just check yourself, what did you do this day? Today, check, did you say any statements that you don't supposed to say? Did you do anything that you don't supposed to do? Check the salat. Did you really fulfill your obligation and pray the salat as you should pray in the jama'ah with the Muslims in this in the masjid? Did you do any of the good deeds, from sadaqah, from spending, from calling on somebody, checking somebody, visiting the sick? You heard about the janazah, did you go and participate? And many of these things. Because if you're not doing it today, ain't nobody going to do it for you after you die. I'm going to share with you this narration or this story from the people of the past. one people of the past from the Salaf al-Salih, in the time of his deathbed, when he was dying, this righteous man from the old generations, that's what the Salaf al-Salih mean, those righteous people who are the old generations, and they follow what the Prophet ﷺ was upon and his companions. So he was dying, and all of a sudden his wife saw him in that condition, she started weeping and crying. He said to her, come here. She came in, he said, why are you crying? She said, what kind of question is this? I'm crying, look at you, I'm crying for you. He said to her, listen, I don't need you to cry for me. If there's anyone that deserves your tears, it's your own self. As for me, I was crying for the past 40 years preparing myself to this moment. He said to her, I was crying for the past 40 years at night while people are asleep. He was crying and weeping out of the fear of Allah. He said to her, I don't need you now. I don't need your tears. They do me no good. The tears that do me good, they mine. I've been shedding them for the past 40 years for the sake of Allah. We have to remember the Akhirah. We have to remember death. It's very important. But the Prophet ﷺ used to say, اذكروا هذم اللذات. Remember the destroyer of desires and lusts. Al-Maut. Death. Another narration. That Malik ibn Dinar, one of the great scholars of the past as well, and he was Zahid. He chose to live a life of modesty. He didn't care about luxury because he knows how precious the time is indeed. So he used to live in a house that is very modest. No furniture, nothing in the house. But because his time is consumed in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in ibadah, teaching others, helping others, assisting others, that's his time. One day he was in his house remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A thief break in to steal. So Malik ibn Dinar, he still remembered Allah. He saw that the thief is looking to this right. He can't see nothing. Look over here, he can't see nothing. There is nothing to take. Nothing. Then Malik ibn Dinar said to the thief, you couldn't find nothing to take, right? The thief said, man, you got nothing, man. What kind of life you have? You got nothing? Malik ibn Dinar, he said to him, if you couldn't find sense, you came to take something. And if you couldn't find anything from the dunya, do you care for some stuff of the akhirah? Do you care for some stuff of the akhirah? The thief said, hey, listen, I'm here to take something. Dunya, akhirah, make no difference with me. What you have? He said to him, go make wudu. So he made wudu. He's a thief, Muslim thief. He made wudu, told him, make two rak'at. He made two rak'at and he taught him. Said to him, the pad that you are on, he didn't hit him with a hammer. He said, the pad that you're on is not going to benefit you in this life, not going to be in hereafter. And then it was the time for the salat. And then Malik ibn Dinar, he came out from his house. And his students, they waiting for him by the door. As soon as he came out, they're going to go with him just from the time from his house to the masjid. They're going to ask him questions, talk to him, this and this. So when Malik ibn Dinar came out, then they saw the other man coming out. They all like, subhanAllah, who's this guy who has one-on-one on the safe? Who is he? How comes we were outside waiting for the sheikh, but all of a sudden this guy alone, and they don't know who he is. So they asked the sheikh, Malik ibn Dinar, they said, who is that person who was with you alone in the house? قَالَ جَاءَ لِيَسْرِقَنَا فَسَرَقْنَاهُ جَاءَ لِيَسْرِقَنَا فَسَرَقْنَاهُ He said to them, he came to snatch something from the dunya, but I snatched him out of it. He came to snatch something from this dunya, but alhamdulillah, I snatched him out of it. This is the attitude. The attitude, barakallahu feekum, we have to remember doing good things, doing the things that are going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things that are going to help us and help our communities. And be mindful of the akhirah. Maymun ibn Mihran, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the great scholars of the past, he has a daughter. And a daughter, she has knowledge. She reached the age of marriage. A man came to my Maymun ibn Mihran and said to him, I heard you have a daughter, she reached the age of marriage. I'm asking her for her hand. Maymun ibn Mihran said to the man, she's not the right wife for you. She's not the right wife. Sorry, but she's not the right wife for you. The man was amazed, subhanAllah, if this great scholar's wife, daughter, she's not the right wife for me, and who else? Then he said to him, do you mind, I believe you, but do you mind me ask you a question? Maymun ibn Mihran said, go ahead. He said, what made you say that your daughter, she's not the right wife for me? He said, because she loves, he told him, she loves gold and jewelry. She's not good for you. She loves gold and jewelry. The man, he laughed and said, subhanAllah, that's easy, man. I have all she needs from that. I have all the gold and the jewelry for her. Then Maymun ibn Mihran said, since you said what you said, now you're not the right husband for her. Said what you just said right now, now you are not the right husband for her. They're looking for the qalb, salama. They're looking for the deen. They're not looking for the dunya. Now somebody wants to marry his daughter. First of all, they check the person. Is he a citizen? Does he have a green card? Is he in engineering? What school he go to? Now he didn't finish school, no. What trade? What grade? What? SubhanAllah. Where are he from? Is he from this country? Is he from that? They don't ask about the manhaj. Don't ask about the Quran. Don't ask about aqeedah. Money, 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 money. Does he have his own house? Even if it's mortgage and riba, don't care. What car he drives? Chevy 77. No. He has to have 2009 Lexus or Cadillac. Even if it's riba haram, doesn't matter. Affairs of the dunya. But we have to confer ourselves and limit ourselves to that which will benefit us, yes, in this dunya and in the hereafter. And we have to do all this while loving one another, caring for one another, and forgiving one another. Forgiving people and pardoning others is a good quality. The grandsons of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Two grandsons. Why? Because their names is Hassan and Hussein too. One Ali and one Hussein or Hassan. I just say the grandsons so you don't confuse them with the grandsons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the grandsons of Ali radiallahu anhu. They differ as related to something and they argue, and one of them, he abused the other. He called him all the names. While the other was silent, didn't even say one word. And then the other one, out of anger, he abused him and left. The one who was oppressed, he waited until the end of the night. He went to his cousin's house and knocked at the door. When his cousin came out, he said to him, Oh cousin, if that which you said about me earlier is true, may Allah have mercy on me. But if it's not true, may Allah have mercy on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That's it. If that which you have said about me is true, may Allah have mercy on me. But if it was not true, may Allah have mercy on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So he hugged him and started crying. Akhwan, we have to learn that we have to make some sacrifices. And we have to be mindful of Yawm al-Qiyamah, of the Akhirah. That's when it comes. Just imagine yourself, you're dead already, and you're in a grave. And that the angels of death, they came to you right now. Now you're in a grave. Just imagine yourself, you're in a grave. You're not alive. You're in a grave right now at this moment, And those two angels, they right by your head asking those questions. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Imagine yourself right now standing in a mahshar, waiting for the account to be established, not knowing if Allah is going to look at you or not, not knowing if Allah is going to be pleased with you or not, not knowing if you're going to get your book with your right hand or left hand, not knowing if you're going to make it through the bridge or not, you're going to slip, you're going to be snatched. Remember all these things before you say one word and before you make one statement. Remember all this. If I ask you right now, are you prepared? What would be your answer? Huh? Are you prepared? The first thing you say, for what? Say, for death. For standing in front of your Lord. As one of the Salaf, he said to another one, he said to him, أَأَنْتَ مُسْتَعِدْ قَالَ لِمَا قَالَ لِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ فَبَلْكَ يَبْكِي يَبْكِي. One of the Salaf said to another one, are you prepared? He said to him, for what? He said, for the meeting of your Lord. Then he started crying. Are you prepared? If you're prepared, alhamdulillah, do what you want to do. Let's go hang out. If you think you're prepared and you're sure that you're going to answer the questions in the grave, you're sure that your book is going to be, you receive it with right hand, you're sure that your balance going to be okay in full measure, if you're sure that you're passing through the bridge ain't nothing, okay, do what you want to do. But can anyone in his right mind believe such thing? So istaiddu lirrahil, be prepared for moving day, because we're all gonna move. So once again, inshallah ta'ala, we thank the community members here at Masjid al-Tawheed, especially the brothers in the administration, the sisters who they support this noble fact, the brothers who they support as well, and also we thank the people here in Detroit area who they came and support as well, even they may be living close or far from this Masjid Tawheed. Also we thank every one of you who may come from near or far, from other states and other cities. We thank you for all your support. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us upon unity, upon the haqq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to die upon Islam as believers, and allowed us to enter the Jannah with the prophets and the righteous and the messengers and the salihin. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the beneficial knowledge which is coupled with righteous actions, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take out from our hearts any hatred, any animosity for the believers. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. زبير تعالى ولد.
الحمد لله الحمد لله على كل حال أحمده وأشكره جل وعلا وهو الكبير المتعال اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك ومنك منك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. In ending, as I thank Abu Muhammad, thank everybody, I just want to leave the brothers and sisters with some advice as it relates to seeking knowledge. Amr al-Sha'bi, who was from the Tabi'un, كان يضرب له مثل في الحفظ. ذكر إمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب العلم بعد أن ذكر الحديث في باب تعليم الرجل أمته وأهله, the chapter of a man teaching his wife, his family, and teaching his slave woman the virtue in that. And after Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions the hadith on Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned a statement, athar on Amir al-Sha'bi, something that I want the brothers and sisters to listen to and pay close attention to. After Imam, after Sha'bi mentioned this hadith, he said, أعطيناك إياها بغير شيء. وفي رواية قال خذها بغير شيء. يعني هذه الرواية وهو يخاطب طلابه. قال خذها بغير شيء. أعطيناك إياها بغير شيء. قد كان يرحل أو يركب فيما دونها إلى المدينة. وعامر الشعبي كان ساكن في العراق. He said to his students after he mentioned this hadith, he said to them, خذها بغير شيء. Take this hadith for nothing, for free. Take it for free. He said, because we used to travel to Medina for less than this. كفى الله المؤمنين عن القتال. He sufficed them from going and the struggles that is entailed in going to seek knowledge. Many of you who have not traveled do not know the difficulties that is entailed in traveling and seeking knowledge. Forsaking your family, forsaking your loved ones, as you are a stranger where you go. During the Eid here, you're with your family, you're with your friends. Everybody knows you, you visit your families. When you are a traveler for seeking knowledge, you don't know anybody. It's very lonely. For years, our students go and seek knowledge, and they stay where they stay, for years as strangers, not knowing anybody, far away from their families, far away from their homes. And when they come back to educate us, I think that there should be a level of reverence and respect that we have for them. In that, everything that we want to do as far as seeking knowledge, memorizing Quran, they have sufficed us. Not to say that those of you who can make it and go overseas and study and seek knowledge, then of course this is what is required. Rather, this is what is wajib upon you. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, طلب العلم واجب على كل مسلم. That seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. That he said, take this hadith for free. Take this narration for free. Balash. We used to travel to Medina for less than that. As I mentioned before, and I'll mention it again, Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala, كان ساكن في بغداد. وهذا في العراق أيضا. قال إذا جاءنا أو زارنا أبو الزرعة الرازي كنا نجتنب القيام والليل. الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى, he said when أبو الزرعة الرازي, who was from the ulama of hadith, the ulama of the ulama of hadith, all of the ulama of hadith that we know, Abu Zur'a al-Razi كان شيخهم. Imam Ahmed said that when Abu Zur'a al-Razi would visit us in Baghdad, we would leave off tahajjud. We would leave off tahajjud. And many of us don't even pray tahajjud. And when the conferences and lectures and things of this nature are facilitated for us, we all of the sudden have so many other things that we have to do. We got to wash clothes. We got to take the car to get detailed. You've been at work all week. You need time with your family. And it seems like we always have something else to do when a conference and a lecture of this nature is organized. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go overseas. You don't have to sell your house. You don't have to sell your business. Pack your family up and go overseas and study. Walillah alhamd, that has been facilitated for you. The administration of your masjid has facilitated that for you. Through telelinks with the scholars, through inviting different people here to benefit and to be benefited, as I benefited from some of the brothers here, walillah alhamd. And it's not that I came here to benefit, but we came to mutually benefit from one another. And the other, in ending, another hadith that was mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, in the chapter of knowledge. On the authority of Abi Waqid al-Laythi, قال أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بينما هو جالس في المسجد والناس معه إذ أقبل ثلاثة نفر فأقبل اثنان إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وذهب واحد. Abu Waqir al-Laythi, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sitting in the masjid. I want you to kind of try to visualize this. And the Sahaba were around him. They're in the circle of knowledge. This is the way that they used to spend their time. And three people approached the majlis. Three people approached the circle of knowledge. Two of them entered and one of them walked away. So he went on to say, قال فوقف على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأما أحدهما فرأى فرجة في المجلس في الحلقة فجلس فيها وأما الآخر فجلس خلفهم وأما الثالث فأدبر ذاهبا فلما فرغ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ألا أخبركم عن النفر الثلاثة أما أحدهم فآوى إلى الله فآواه الله وأما الآخر فاستحيا الله منه وأما الآخر فأعرض الله عنه. He said, as for the three, one of them, or two of them, they saw, one of them, he saw a space in the circles of knowledge. He saw an opening and he sat in it. Similar to the brothers back there on the wall and brothers back there hanging out, having their own conversations, and there's space up here in the front of the majlis. This is from the adab of the students of knowledge. This is from the adab of halaqatul ilm, the circles of knowledge. And although we may not be on that level of students of knowledge in that we sit with the scholars, but we should also conduct ourselves with the same adab, so that the people who accept Islam, they fall in line. Because what happens is, we do what we do, and then when someone is new to Islam, he sees us doing something contrary to what we're supposed to be doing, and immediately he follows suit. But we should learn the adab and the etiquettes of the circles of knowledge, so that when the people accept Islam, immediately they see the etiquettes and they follow. He said, as for the first, he saw opening in the gathering, he sat down. He said, as for the second, istahya fastahya Allahu min. He was shy to cut in front of people and move people to the side, so he sat wherever he was, in the back. And as for the third, fa'arada Allahu anhu. As for the third person, he turned away and walked away, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned away from him. The point of reference in this hadith is the third person. That is the person that turned away from the circles of knowledge And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned away from him. And we want to evaluate ourselves and ask ourselves, are we from amongst those who are going to benefit from the knowledge when it is presented to us? None of you had to spend a penny to come here. Nobody asked you for a dime when you walked in the door. As you're sitting here now, no one asked you for anything. This knowledge is free. It's free. خُذْهَا بِغَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. Take it for nothing, for free. No one asked you to provide a facility. No one asked you to provide the speakers with a place to stay for the week. Nobody asked you for anything. Only thing we did was facilitate for you some knowledge and ask you to come and benefit your own selves from it. But many of us are like the third person. We turn away, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns away from us. He said, as for the first one, he found an opening in the gathering and he sat down. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, as he mentioned the benefit in this, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fa'awa ilallah fa'awahu Allah. Yani aqbala ala Allah fa'aqbala Allahu alayhi. That he turned his attention and his direction towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek knowledge, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did likewise. And the second person, he was shy, so Allah was shy of him. And Hafidh ibn Hajar said, what this means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy upon him. فَاسْتَحْيَ اللَّهُ مِنْ يَعْنِي رَحِمَهُ وَعَفْوَ عَنْهُ. That Allah pardoned him and had mercy upon him. Because he had some shyness, he had some adab. That he didn't just walk in the front of the crowd and come sit in the front. But he had adab. He felt it might have been inappropriate to move people over, so he sat wherever he could find a spot. And the third person, he turned away from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned away from him. وَقَالَ حَافِظُ ابْنُ حَجَرٍ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَهُوَ مَحْمُولٌ عَلَى مَنْ ذَهَبَ مُعْرِضًا لَا لِعُذْرٍ لَا لِعُذْرٍ. He said, and this is in reference to the one who turns away from the circles of knowledge without any excuse. You find that there's a class going on here and brothers are downstairs in the souk having their own lecture. Or outside in the parking lot and in the front having their own dars. We have to break away from this and learn the etiquettes of the circles of knowledge. And benefiting, and coming here with the intention of learning, not coming here with the intention to see Fulan, who you haven't seen in a long time, congregating and fraternizing with Fulan that you haven't seen in a long time outside. Many of the brothers have traveled from places, from Ohio, from New Jersey, from Philadelphia. They didn't spend $379 on a ticket, round trip ticket, to come all the way down here to sit and talk with someone. You can do that over the phone for free. You can just wait to after 6 o'clock when the minutes is free, or 7 o'clock, depending on which service you have, and you can talk to an individual anytime you want. But when you spend your money like that to travel, you make your intention from the moment you walk out of your door to seek knowledge for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Imam Ahmad was asked, كيف النية في طلب العلم؟ قال أن ينوي رفع الجهل عن نفسه وعن غيره. Imam Ahmad was asked, how does an individual purify his intention in seeking knowledge? He said that he makes his intention to remove ignorance from himself and ignorance from others. If you're at the lecture and you're talking outside and fraternizing outside the whole 3 days, what do you have to go home and educate your family with? What do you have to go home and educate your family with? When your wife asks you, so how was the conference? How was the lecture? You say, oh, mashallah, it was a nice turnout. But you spent your whole 3 days outside congregating and fraternizing with everybody that came in. Why are you deceiving yourself and depriving your family? Because maybe she wanted to come, but you didn't have enough money for her to come. Or maybe she wanted to come, but you wanted to travel with a brother instead of bringing your wife and your children. So you deprive your family of something that maybe, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that perhaps فَإِنَّ الْمُبَلِّغُ أَوْعَى مِنَ السَّامِعِ أَوْعَى مِنَ السَّامِعِ. That perhaps the one that the relation, the narration is, or the information is given to, has more understanding of the information than the one that heard it himself. And it's perhaps many of us, we go home and we give the tapes to our wives and our families, and maybe they understood the mawdu' better than we did. We have to begin to purify our intentions to make what we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And seeking knowledge, as seeking knowledge is ibadah, is worship. What you're doing right now, sitting here and listening, this is ibadah. With the condition that you make your intention for that. Because if you make your intention for something else, then as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَوَّلُ مَن تَشَعَّرُ بِهِمَ النَّارُ الثَّلَاثَ. The first person that the fire is going to burn up is three people. And from them is the alim, the scholar. Or the one who's seeking knowledge, the one who claims to have knowledge. But his intention is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's for something else. لِيُقَالْ عَالِمٌ فَقَدْ قِيلَ. You did it so the people could say that you was an alim, you was a scholar, you was a student of knowledge, mashallah, tabarakallah. وَقَدْ قِيلَ. And it was said about you. And that was your reward. ثُمَّ أُمِرَ بِهِ فَصُبِحَ عَلَى وَجِهِهِ فِي النَّارِ. And then he will be ordered to be dragged on his face into the hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our intentions, to make our niyyah khalisan lahu jalla wa ala. Wa nas'al Allah at-tawfiq wa sadat. Wa nas'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yaj'alana mimman idha u'tiya shakar. Wa idha adhnaba istaghfara. Wa idha btuliya sabar. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who, if He is given, He is grateful. That if he commits sin, he seeks Allah's forgiveness. And that if he is tested, he is patient. فَإِنَّ هَذَا عُنْوَانَ السَّعَادَةِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا وَسُبْحَانَكَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَالسَّلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.